This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
You're listening to Free FM 89.0, Tuia Marae o Te Hapori. This is Ballot Box 23, an opportunity to meet some of the candidates hoping to get your vote in this year's general election. Kia ora tātou, thanks for joining us this afternoon for Ballot Box 2023 and the opportunity, as we just said, to have a quick introduction to some of the candidates that are hoping to represent you through your electorate in the general election, which is awfully close now. We're in full campaign mode, so it's time to meet some of these people face to face. Joining me for the first one today is Dr. Naomi Pocock, who is a candidate for the Opportunities Party for Hamilton West. She's something of a seasoned campaigner now, having contested this same electorate in the by-election last year, and she also stood for Hamilton East in the 2020 general election. Tēnā koe, Naomi, thank you for being here.
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
This is a familiar space for you now.
It is.
I'd like to start with a bit of a recap, though, on your background and your association with the Opportunities Party in particular. I'd like to know what brought you to the party, how long you've been involved with it now.
So I have three young boys, and they were rather young back in 2017 when I sort of came across TOP and started campaign delivering pamphlets into letterboxes for them. So they sort of, the boys helped me then. So I couldn't do much at that point, but I certainly right back from when TOP started, I saw the vision of bringing that sort of centrist party back to Parliament with, you know, deep integrity and evidence-based policy, looking at what's going to take New Zealand forwards, willing to work with either side across all of the issues. So I was very inspired back then when sort of TOP emerged. And, yeah, I've been volunteering hundreds of hours for them ever since, largely around education and looking after our most vulnerable citizens, the tamariki, particularly early childhood, but now also looking into future generations' perspectives as well. So since then, I've been working at the university on sustainability, lecturing up there. So that's been a fantastic opportunity as well. So just trying to sort of take that conversation forwards into what are the big sort of big visionary perspectives, but then also those looking at the fundamentals. What are the fundamental issues that need fixing, rather than all this sort of tinkering at the edges around a 3-year election cycle.
When the party was first established, Gareth Morgan had a very definite impact as a personality, and it was largely his vision of things that drove what the party is. Now that he's no longer the public face, if you like, of what the party is, what elements of the party's manifesto as it stands at the moment do you think are the most relevant to the Hamilton West electorate?
The party emerged from a think tank, so a number of the views of a number of people and the views of a number of experts coming together and, you know, and people reading those sort of all these inquiry reports, etc., that provide politicians with the recommendations which they largely then don't implement. So I guess that's the vision of the party, that sort of that evidence-based perspective, and that hasn't changed at all. But in terms of the original manifesto, I think, and where we're at now, I think the big thing that we are all struggling with, people talk about the cost of living. The greatest cost in households is the cost of housing. So whether that's a rent or your mortgage payments, the cost of housing is severely unaffordable in New Zealand, and that has been TOP's sort of fundamental view right from the start, and that hasn't changed. So addressing that will make a huge difference for people.
Specifically for the Hamilton West electorate?
Yeah, and Hamilton West is very representative demographically to the rest of New Zealand. So apart from the sort of the urban-rural, but in terms of all the other demographics, is very representative. So it's a really good electorate to go, things that are going to solve the problems here will solve the problems for the rest of the nation as well.
Well, let's look specifically at the electorate then. What do you rate as the number number one issues.
Yep.
If I can say number one issues being a multiple
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Or the primary issues facing the electorate and,
sure.
and the biggest problems that they're facing.
Yeah. So again, the primary issue is living, the affordability of living, of which housing cost is such a huge chunk. So people who are paying rents, astronomical rents compared to what they're earning. And then on the flip side is the cost of, you know, the tax burden landing upon all of those salary and wage earners as well. So in New Zealand, we have a problem where the people who are working in salary, earning salaries and wages are paying a large chunk of the tax bill. And people who, you know, own multiple properties are not paying their fair share of tax. So that switching that up will free up the, you know, will enable Hamilton West citizens to feel like they have more money in their back pocket, which then has a flow-on effect to the whole of the rest of the society.
What does switching it up mean? It sounds like you're talking switching about tax cuts.
So it's a tax switch. What we want to do is switch the tax. So, so remove or alleviate the burden off salary and wage earners and place the tax burden upon land. So it's a tax switch. So it's no extra money for the government, but it's just shifting where the burden of tax lies. And so at the moment, so backstory, back in the 90s, they were supposed to, when they did all the economic reforms, they were supposed to put some sort of tax on property or land. It never eventuated. The government changed, et cetera, became political. Nobody ever did it. And now we've got the most unaffordable housing in the world. And so we're saying that once we place a tax on that land, and it's only a very small amount, three quarters of a percent of tax on just the land, not the property on top of the land, not the capital investment on top of the land, just the value of the land itself, only residential, urban that we're looking at, not rural, not commercial. So really just targeting that area that where we want to incentivise the productive use of that land. So a small tax on that will then be enough to sort of shift the incentive of the way that people are investing their money in our economy and then sort of get that sort of moving, because it's very stagnant at the moment when everything's in land banking. It just sits there and nothing happens. It doesn't circulate. And so, and then alleviate the burden with tax cuts on particularly the low end. So we're talking about the first 15,000 earned tax-free. So tax-free threshold for the first 15,000 for everybody. And then adjusting the tax rates a little bit in the middle and then increasing it at the high end. So anyone who's earning over 250,000 a year would be paying 45% tax on that extra amount.
That's a biggie.
I mean, look, somebody who's earning over 250,000 a year paying tax at 45% on that money that's over and above 250,000, I don't think that's such a biggie. And I think actually people are realising that that we need things to be a lot fairer.
Okay. Thinking back, last year's by-election must still be relatively fresh in your mind, and especially when you're going into campaign mode once again. What's going to be different for you this time around?
Well, from what I believe, all of the candidates are different. So all the candidates from the other parties are different, so I don't know what's going on there. But, so that'll be interesting in the debates. I think for me personally, what's different is that we've got, we've got some new forward-thinking policies that have come out more recently, things like the Teal Card for youth, which is a bit like a gold card but for under 30s. I've got one right here to show you. Things like, fully funded healthcare, including dental and opticians and free public transport for under 30s, things like that. So new policies, new sort of forward thinking, and a few new candidates at the Opportunities Party too, which is just fantastic. They're all awesome people.
It's a pretty small team though, isn't it? What are 13 candidates in total around the country?
Yes, we've gone for quality over quantity.
Of course you would say that.
No, we truly have.
Well, polling suggests that the party is going to struggle to get across the 5% threshold again, in particular to get traction against the two main parties, obviously.
Mm.
In this electorate in particular, that would seem to be true. So if that's how it pans out, what do you hope out of your policies and out of your discussions that you're going to be having in the weeks ahead is going to be most valuable?
Okay, so first of all, let me point out that the Electoral Commission recommended back in 2012 that that threshold should be lowered to 3%, and this is a really good example of where politicians aren't implementing the recommendations of our expert panels, our expert commissions, and our research based approach. So there's that. The second thing is we have a leader in Ilam down in Christchurch who has a very prominent profile, and so unfortunately the way that it works in New Zealand politics, you have to get one person in an electorate and then all the other party votes count towards getting more people in. And so if he wins Ilam, which we're very confident that he will because he's been a city councillor down there for two terms, he was involved in the mosque attack aftermath, he was involved in the Christchurch rebuild after the earthquakes, volunteer army, he's got a really high profile. So if he gets in, then every party vote after that counts. And so we're looking for the party vote. So we're looking for the party vote in pretty much the rest of the nation, so that if he gets in, then every party vote will count towards getting other MPs into Parliament under the Opportunities Party.
What do you think is realistic then in terms of what the party could achieve?
So again, if he gets in, it doesn't really matter. We don't have to get to the 5%. So
gets in, how many other MPs do you think you could
get? I would love it if there were sort of 3 or 4 or 5. I think that would be a prominent enough voice to then move us forward towards 2026 and 2029. My vision has always been 15% for 15 years. That's sort of the way things work over in Europe. You have sort of a couple of major parties who have sort of 30% of the vote or so, and then you have, you know, a couple of others with sort of 15, 20%, and then together they then become a government that is based on what's best for the country and the policy, and less about their own personal or party power. So initially, I'd love it if there were 3 or 4 or 5 people in there.
All right, backing the bus up a little bit. Sure. This is now your third rodeo and your third time standing as a candidate. What's your takeaway from your last two experiences that will influence the way that you approach this campaign period?
Well, that's a good question. One of the things we're doing differently this time, so in 2020, so for the by-election, we delivered 27,000 pamphlets to Hamilton West letterboxes, and I don't think that was a great use of our volunteer time or, you know, the environmental impact, so we're not delivering pamphlets this time. I just think, you know, people, too many of them land in the landfill, so that's not worth it. So this time we've sort of focused on more of a billboard, highlighting RAF's profile, and I'll be, you know, I'll still be attending the debates and having plenty to say there. I'm also the education sort of policy advisor in the background as well. So a lot of my time and effort is going into education messaging. Mm.
And if it ends up that you do get a few MPs in the House at the end of all this, but you're not part of that, what about you personally going forward? Are you prepared to call this a long-haul exercise?
I've always thought of it as a long-haul exercise because when I started it, my children were too young for me to really have that much of an impact, and I'm very much a team player. One of my key values is sort of this concept of kotahitanga, which is around that there is strength in unity, and that when we come together, we do better than when we're operating alone. And so I've always been a team player. I've always been more about getting other people in there to challenge the status quo, to fix these fundamental issues. As I say, my interest is early childhood education. But in order to do what we need to do for our children, we need living to be more affordable for their parents. And so the fundamental issue, again, is housing. It comes back to housing, the cost of housing. And when that gets sorted, then that frees up more disposable income for parents to then have more choice. We also have universal basic income policy. Those sorts of things will help to give parents more freedom and more choice. Which will ultimately have a flow-on effect to the children of today.
Looking ahead 3 years then, what are you going to do in the 3 years between now and 2026 for the next election?
That's a really good idea. Really good question. So I've been, as I say, I've been working up at the university, so I've been really enjoying teaching up there. So I'm trying to get a foot in the door there. Unfortunately, the way that our systems work, my publications that I wrote, which were in high journals, you know, before my children were born, don't count anymore. Because they're, you know, because of my maternity leave, effectively. So that's okay. I'm maintaining conversations there, and I'm about to teach a whole group of high-level Vietnamese public servants who are coming out and doing sort of rotating around the university departments. So I'm going to talk to them about things like donut economics and sustainability and circular economy and all really interesting topics, and our ETS and our Resource Management Act and a whole lot of other things, living standards framework. So yeah, so in there, and then beyond that, I'd love to spend the next 3 years sort of just working in those fields, and you know, anywhere where I want to spend my energy making the greatest difference that I can for my children's future and the future of their peers. So my ultimate goal is to be able to look my children in the eye when they're 80 and say, I did everything I could. And so that's kind of my life vision. And so anything that I can do in between that enables me to work towards a better future for them and their peers and future generations, that's where I wanna be.
Kia ora. Thank you. Dr. Naomi Pocock, candidate for the Opportunities Party for Hamilton West. Ngā mihi nui. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us on Ballot Box 23. I'm Mike Williams. It is 17 minutes past 1, and we'll be back with our next candidate in just a few minutes.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.